in Tanakh. Where does it say in Tanakh? You have to read the Megillah. The truth of the matter doesn't say in Tanakh. What says explicitly in Megillah says there is, you have to, Lasa says, Mishta v'simcha, Mishlach, Manasi, Shereyehu, Matanis, Lavyon, has everything but the Mikra Megillah. So the Gemara has on the first daf in Megillah, the Gemara comments on the Pasuk, Hayamim Ha'ila, these 2 days of Purim and Shusha Purim, Yudalit, and Tezvav Ador, and the Yamim Ha'ila, Nizkarim v'na'asim, that the Jews, Nizkarim, they remember the history and they observe the mitzvahs. So the Gemara has a tradition that the word Nizkarim, sometimes in Tanakh the verb Zachor, Zayin Chofresh, means to remember, and sometimes it means Lahaskir, to mention. Like the Pasuk and Aseret HaDibur, Zachor Yom Shabbos L'Kadshoi. So the Gemara had a tradition that it means you should recite Kiddush. Zachor Yom Shabbos, mention the Kedushas Hayom, the Kadshoi, to sanctify it. Even though Shabbos is Kriya V'Kayma from Sheshes Mebereshes, Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. This week is Parshas Bereshes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and says, V'Yivorcha L'Kem Nesem HaShvei V'Yikadosho. So the Baruch Shalom is Mekadosh. All the Shabbosim Lasi Lavoi, it's already Kriya V'Kayma from Sheshes Mebereshes. That's why on Shabbos we say Baruch HaTashem Mekadosh HaShabbos, and on Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh say Baruch HaTashem Mekadosh Yisrael V'Roshei Chodoshim HaMekadosh Yisrael V'Hazmanim HaMekadosh Yisrael V'Yom HaKippurim V'Yom HaZikaron. HaKadosh Baruch is Mekadosh the Bnei Yisrael, who in turn declared the day as Yom Tov, as Rosh Chodesh, and so on. But on Shabbos we don't say. There was one opinion in the Gemara in Arvid Pesachim that even on Shabbos also you say Mekadosh Yisrael V'HaShabbos. But we don't pass like that. So the Gemara explains why. Because Shabbos is Kriya B'Kayma. Baruch Atah Hashem B'Kadesh HaShabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadosh all the Shabbosim. Lo Asi Lovei. We don't need our being Mekadosh, our declaring. But the Pasuk says, Zachor Yom Shabbos, we should mention the fact that today is Shabbos. L'Kadosh to be Masiv Kedusha al Kedusha Asa. Even though Shabbos has a Kedusha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, M'Sheish is Mei B'Reish, we have the Mitzvah L'Akdisha, to declare it as a Yom Kodesh. So just like over there, the verb Zayin Chofresh means Lahaskir, to mention. It doesn't mean to remember. A lot of people translate remember the day of Sabbath to keep it holy. It doesn't mean remember. The Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvos. He tries to determine which are the 613 mitzvahs. So the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvos, he formulates 14 guiding principles that determine whether any given mitzvah belongs in the minyan of mitzvahs or not, and when should be counted as one mitzvah, when should be counted as two mitzvahs, like Sukkos. So he says, not to do malacha on the first day is one mitzvah, not to do malacha on Shmei Atzeres is another mitzvah, because Shmei Atzeres is a regel b'fnei atzma. Pesach, he counts as one mitzvah, the whole Pesach with the last days of Pesach is one Yom Tov. But the second days of Sukkot is a separate Yom Tov and Shmini Atzeres. So the Rambam has in the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvos, he has the first klal he has is that you only count mitzvahs out of Ben HaTorah. Because the Gemara says in the end of Makkos, Taryag mitzvahs nemelo l'Moshe Misina. The Rabbanu Shalom didn't tell Moshe Rabbeinu the mitzvahs, the Rabbanu. Those were instituted by the Chachamim at a later time. So that's the first klal. You only include mitzvahs deraisa. Then the Rambam has a klal. You only count mitzvahs that are lefi pshuto shal mikra. If you're going to include mitzvahs that are lefi drushes of the Torah shabal peh, zachein l'dovasof. And every generation that chachamim in every generation, if they understand how to read in between the lines, today we don't know how to do that. But in every days of the Tanaim and Amaram, they knew how to read in between the lines. They would come up with a new din. And many Achronim hold when they came up with a new din based on Klal of Prat, Klal, Dov Shai B'Klal, V'Yasmen HaKlal. The din only applies Mikan al Habo, just like when the Chacham make a Takana de Rabbanan. That's the famous Rosh in the end of the first Perek in Chulin. The Rosh says, when they asked Gvina Sakum, so whoever had Gvina Sakum that was made the day before they made the Gzeret, that's kosher. He has kosher cheese in his refrigerator made by a Nochri, under the Hashgach of the Tanoim. They didn't use any treif ingredients. But then when the Tanoim made it, it was there on Gvina Sakum, so it's only on the Gvina that will be made, Mikan al Habo. So there's a machlekes achrayim. What about if the chachamim not to invent a new din derabban? What if they invent a new din deraisa based on midrash haTorah and Rashi's bam? Do you say it's a gloyim milsal amafreya that this was always a din from the days of Maimon Hasina? Or they say no. When the chachamim come up with a new chiddush, they come up with a new drash and torah shmalpeh. The din's only noy bekanal habod like a din derabbanan. They're mechadishit. That's what they quote in the name of the Chazon Ish, that Rashi in his commentary on Koheles, we just read Koheles on Shmini Atzeres this year. There was no Shabbos Cholamot Sukkot, so we read on Shmini Atzeres. So Rashi says in the post, Ein ko chodesh tachas ha-shemesh. So we always translate it in English. There's nothing new under the sun. History repeats itself, and we should learn from the past. We shouldn't make the same mistakes. We can predict the future based on what we know from past history. So Rashi quotes from the Torah Shebal Peh, from the Midrashim, Ein ko chodesh tachas ha-shemesh has a different interpretation. The Shemesh is the Torah that gives us illumination, because Olam Hazeh is daimel ha-layla. That's how the Gemara has a comment above Metziyot, the Pasuk in Baruch Nafshi. Tosh is chesh adihi loyla ba-asim ras kachaysa yuar. It's describing a phenomenon that it's dark outside, you can't see anything. And all the animals from the jungle start roaming around. So what is that a description of? Mar says, Olam Hazeh. It's a description of Olam Hazeh, Shedoyim El HaLayla. In what way is Olam Hazeh Doyim El HaLayla? So the Mesillas Yesharim explains that by Layla, you can make two types of mistakes. Sometimes you make a mistake L'Mayusa, and sometimes you make a mistake L'Gayusa. Sometimes you see a lamppost and you think that it's a person. And sometimes you see a person and you think it's a lamppost. So by Olam Hazeh, people make a lot of mistakes. We see something that's a big avera, and we think it's the biggest mitzvah to tell lashon hara about that person. We decided he's good for nothing. It's a mitzvah to tell lashon hara to ruin all of his shiduchim, to ruin his parnasa, to ruin his marriage, to ruin, to destroy him. So we think that one of the biggest averas, lashon hara, we make it into a mitzvah. A lot of times we take a mitzvah and make it into an avera. We think that's the biggest avera. So that's why we say B'hoi Reneinu Mr. Asecha. We pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The expression comes from Tanakh, that when a person learns Torah, it's Hoi Reneinu, it enlightens him. It's no longer Toshis Chashal V'hi Loila, that you don't know whether it's a mitzvah or not. There you learn the Torah, the Torah tells you what's right and what's wrong. So that's why the Medrash on several psukim in Koheles interprets that the Shemesh is referring to the Torah. So the Pasuk says Ein Ko Chadash Tachas HaShemesh. Tachas means, tachas often means below. But over here, tachas like shor tachas hashor. Shalem shalom shor tachas hashor. That means you alone. Shor tachas hashor means instead of the shor. He was mazik, my shor, now he has to pay me money. He has to give me a shor tachas hashor instead of. So that's how the Medrash interprets the pasuk. En kochadosh, tachas HaShemesh. Outside of the Torah, the no chidushim. In science and physics and chemistry and biology, there are no chidushim. All the chidushim are only in the area of Torah. So the Esther Chazon Ish is just the reverse. Every year in high school and in college, where they teach physics, chemistry, biology, they have to print a new textbook because they discovered so many new things. They have to rewrite everything. What we thought was the klal is now an exception to the rule. What we thought was the exception to the rule is now the rule. We keep on discovering more, and they have to put out a new textbook. When they teach Baba Kama in the yeshiva, or they teach Gittin or Yevamos, whatever, it's always the same Gemara with the same Tosis, with the same Marsha in the back, with the same Rosh. So what do you mean? The Chidushim are only in the area of Torah. The Torah is always the same. The Torah doesn't change. In science, everything changes. You have new inventions and everything. That's what the Chazon Ish explained. Yeah, you have new inventions, but all the inventions are based on the scientific facts that were instituted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he created the world, the Sheish Yismei Bereishis. And if Adam Arishan would have known, he would have been able to make all the telephones and all the airplanes and all the fax machines and everything, could have made all the tech. He didn't know enough. Everything was there already. The whole Bria was created. In the world of science, Tachas HaShemesh, outside of learning, they're not coming up with Duchi Dushin. They come up and make new inventions, but all the new inventions are based on klalim, scientific klalim that were all there from the Sheishes Mei Bereishis. In that sense, it's not a chiddush mikar al habo. they discovered that these were always the facts, and you could have always had an electric bulb, you could always had a refrigerator and air conditioner and so on. They just didn't know enough information. But in Torah, when Talmud Chacham is mechadish a new din deraisa, just like on a din derabanan, the Rosh explains in the Chulin Daf Yud Zayin, when they prohibited the gvina sakna. So it's only the gvina that's made for the nochrim mikan al haba, whatever was manufactured before they made the gzera derabanan in my refrigerator with the hashgacha of Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Loza ben Azai, whatever. So it remains kosher. It's only osam mikan al haba. So the same is true regarding a drosha and a Torah Shabbat. So that's what the Rambam writes. He cannot say that the Taryag Mitzvah includes even dinim that are established based on Midrash HaTorah and Adin Daraisa. You don't include dinim Darabon. But Torah Shabbat Peh is Adin Daraisa. The Rambam says you can't include dinim that are only known through the Torah Shabbat Peh. You only can include what's Latik Shuto Shal Mikra, because in every generation, the Chachamim can add on another din and another din and another din and another din. So you say, but there are only 613 mitzvahs. So he says, no, there's 613 mitzvahs before you begin making any droshes of the Torah Shabbat Peh. All the dinim, all the Taryag mitzvah have to be Latik Shuto Shal Mikra. Because if you go, in every generation there can be mechadish new ones, so what are you going to say? You mechadish a new din, so you have to throw out one of the previous mitzvahs. There are only 613 mitzvahs. That's the pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam says you only include mitzvahs deraisa in the minyan tardag, taryag lefi pshut shel mikra. So then the Rambam writes when he counts the mitzvah reciting Kiddush. He says Kiddush is lefi pshut shel mikra. It's not that it's an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk Zohar Siyam Shabbos El Kachi, that the pshut shel mikra should be translated remember the day, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. No. It means Zohar, Hasker, recite Kiddush to sanctify the day, Likacho, to sanctify the day. And even though Shabbos is Kriya B'kaima, from Sheshet Beresh HaKadosh Baruch wants us to add an additional level of Kedusha B'di Adam by reciting Kiddush. That's how we thereby Mekadosh it. Like the Bezdin says, Mekudosh HaKadosh, they declare today is Rosh Chodesh, and we endow the day with Kedusha. Or very similar to that is Abchor is Mitzvah LaHagdishoi. Abchor is born, a Jewish farmer has a female cow, and it gives birth to Avlat, so it has Kedusha B'chor Be'em Torah, it's Kodesh Me'rechem. But then we paskan like Rebbe, and the Gemara, Rebbe Yudanos, B'chor Mitzvah L'Agdisho. Kol Abchor Sheva, B'chor Chatzon Chatocha, HaZochar, Tagdish L'Hashem Alekecha. So we paskan like Rebbe, it's a Mitzvah L'Agdisho. I bet it's already Kodesh. The Gemara said, no, you give it an additional level of Kedusha B'dei Adam. The Gemara has a whole discussion when you make a hatfosa in a neder. Let's say I'm supposed to go on a diet, so I say I take a neder that all the potato chips and all the ice cream and all the cookies in the world should be osam achila to me. So I can take a neder. What if I didn't say it should be osam achila? Just say all the potatoes should be like a korban chatos, like a korban shlamin, osabano, like a korban oil, let's say. So that's called hatfosa. What if I say it should be like a Bechor Behemah Tohira? Bechor Behemah Tohira is Asa Ba'anoa. It's an Isa Me'ila Be'egdish and Asa Ba'anoa. But that's a Dova Ha'asad. That's not a Dova Ha'nodr. You can only make Hatfasa if I asad cookies B'neder. Then I'm going to say the ice cream should be the same as the cookies and the potato chips should be the same as the ice cream. That's called Hatfasa. Zekozet. This should be like that. So Hatfasa is only valid if your Matvis B'Dova Ha'nodr. The original thing I asked because I took a neder not to eat the cookies. Then I said the potato chips should be like the cookies. Then I say the ice cream should be like the potato chips. That's hatfasa b'dava hanoder. But if I say this should be like chazer, the cookie should be like chazer, just like chazer is asam achila, cookie should be asam achila. So the Gemara says it doesn't work. Linda neder has the connotation can only make hatfasa b'dava hanoder, not b'dava ha'osur. So what about Bechor Behem HaTorah? Bechor Behem HaTorah is Kodesh Mirechem. It's Kodesh by itself. So it's a Dova HaAsur. I didn't create the Yisr. But we paskan since a Bechor is Mitzvah LaHagdishai, it's a Mitzvah. If the farmer, if he didn't declare it as Kodesh, I say Zekozeh, the cookies and the potato chips should be like the Bechor, it'll be HaTfasa B'Dova HaAsur and it's not a good HaTfasa. But if the farmer did fulfill a Mitzvah, that was Metal Zalov. To declare Be'emazu Kadosha, Be'kadosha is Bechor Be'emah Torah. So the Gemara, we pass on like that Tana, that the mitzvah Lakdisha, not just a mitzvah to declare that it is Kodesh. Your Moshe Kedusha al Kedusha Asai. He had an additional level of Kedusha B'dei Adam over and above the Kedusha that I had B'dei Shamayim. So that's the same as the Kiddush. Shabbos is Kvim B'kaima anyway, from Sheshes May back. Kadosh Baruch was Mekadosh all the Shabbos, and that's why I say Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos, but I don't say Mekadesh Yisrael HaShabbos. Yamim Tovim Rosh HaChodoshim is Mekadesh Yisrael, who in turn are Mekadosh the Rosh HaChodosh, who in turn are Mekadosh the Yamim Tovim. But on Shabbos, we paskin not like that opinion. We say Mekadesh HaShabbos, because Shabbos is clearly kaima from Sheshes May Bereshit. But then, it's a mitzvah to recite Kiddush, so that's Lohesiv Kedusha al Kedushasai. So Choros Hama Shabbos, Likat Shot, to endow the day with additional Kedusha. So the Rambam raises a question on himself, but I wrote in the 14 principles, 14 guiding principles, whatever is an additional level of interpretation, not Lefi Pshutu Shal Mikra, cannot be included in the Taryag Mitzvah. It's the only clue in the Taryag Mitzvah that are based on Torah Shebichsav Pshutu Shal Mikra. So isn't this a drasha of the Torah Shabbat Pep? Doesn't mean remember the day of Sabbath to keep it holy? Isn't this an additional level of interpretation? Declare the day as Shabbos in order to sanctify it. Isn't that an additional level of interpretation? So the Rambam says, no, that's Pshut Shal Mikra. And how does he know that? On the Sefer HaMitzvot he writes, because there's a Gemara in Brachos on Dav Chof, I think, where the Gemara says, Kiddush should have really been a mitzvah saseh shazmagram. So women should have really been potter from reciting Kiddush. But because we have a tradition that Zocha b'shoma b'dibur echad nemru, they're both recited simultaneously, Masha'ena pei yicholu ledaba v'lohoz and yicholu lishmoa, human being can't say two things simultaneously. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed both simultaneously, Zocha b'shoma. What was that? What was the necessity for that stunt, for that trick, to recite both Zoch v'Shama v'Vas Achas, that I should treat these two dinim as if they're in one pasuk, as if it's better than one. If you have a pasuk, the first half and the second half have two different dinim, so that's called a hekesh. The fact that they're both written together in the same pasuk is it means a hekesh, and there's some kind of a connection or another between the first din and the second din. If you have two psukim that are next to each other in Chumash, not two dinim in the same pasuk, that's called smuchim. That's a big machlekes hatanoim, whether you darshan smuchim or not. And the Gemara says in Yevamah Mizdav Dalet, we paskin only a chumish dvarim that we darshan smuchim. Mishnah Torah is different, and the other four chumashim, you do not darshan smuchim. What if you have not the first half of the pasuk, but the second half of the pasuk written in the same pasuk? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said two things simultaneously, one on top of the other. He said, Zach v'shamar b'dibur echad. So that's more than a hekesh. A hekesh is the first half of the pasuk, and the second half are connected. There's some kind of a connection between the two. Otherwise, it wouldn't be written in the same pasuk. Here they're both proclaimed simultaneously. So it's more than a hekesh. So the Gemara says, Kol she'eshna b'shama yeshna b'zocha. Shama is alois sesig. The Gemara has a tradition. Whenever it says, Yishama pen v'ya'al, it means that it's alois sesig. So it says, Shamar is shama shabbos. Like katcha means, you have to be a shama shabbos. It means you're not allowed to do malacha on shabbos. Zochar is an essay. It means you have to recite Kiddush. The Gemara says, since the two Zocher v'Shamer were recited simultaneously, so I treat it like it's a stronger hekesh that we recited the Vasacha proclaimed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Vasachas. So it has a din like a hekesh. So we say, since women are obligated to observe the Lo Seseh Shazbagram, women are only exempt from a mitzvah Saseh Shazbagram. But if you have a Lo Seseh Shazbagram, women are mechuyev in that. So even though Kiddush is an essay shazmagrama, but since Zocher v'Shamer we recited the Dibur Echad, so therefore the women are also mechuyev in the Kiddush, because the mechuyev in the Shamer, Shamer is a lois essay shazmagrama, women are mechuyev, so the women are also mechuyev in Kiddush. So the Loshen HaGemara there is, Loshen Mechayov is b'Kiddush Hayom Dvar Torah. So I would have translated, Dvar Torah means a din d'oraisa. It's not a din de rabbanon. Other mitzvahs says shazmagrama, they're not chayvin. They're only chayvin kiddush. Why? This is one of the many exceptions to the rule. Matzah is an exception to the rule. There are a lot of exceptions. That women are mechuyev mitzvah says shazmagrama. So the loshon haGemara is nashim chayov is in brachas not chayv. Nashim chayov is bekiddush hayom dvar Torah. So I would have thought Dvar Torah means a din d'oraisa. You shouldn't think it's only a din d'rabbanan. So the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, no, Dvar Torah means that it's pshuto shal mikra. that interpretation, Sochas Yom Shabbos, Likatsho, mentioned the day, mentioned that today is Shabbos and you want to sanctify it, that's the Pshuto Shon Bikra. It's not that that's an additional level of interpretation of the Torah Shabbat. The Rambam claims that's the Pshuto Shon Bikra, and that's what the phrase Dvar Torah means. So Chiddush, I'm not sure how the Rambam knew that that's the connotation of Dvar Torah, but that's what he writes. So the Gemara again, the Gemara has Zaytim Zachar Shasavach HaMolech. Gemara says Yochab Belev, maybe Zachar HaMolech, Schiris HaMolech means you should remember in your mind, Tamalai Malai Sishkach, at the end of the parasha, Lester was a Sishkach. Arei Belev Om, Hamani Mekam Zachar, Zachar Bepeh. So the Gemara says you have to learn Parsha Zachar from a Sefer Torah, Metoch HaKsav, Asabim Metoch HaKsav. This Pshat Zachar, Esu Zachar HaMolech, Zachar means Lahaskir, not remember. Zachar means Lahaskir, mention. Read from the Klaf, read from the Sefer Torah, the Parsha of Amalek. So here too, the Gemara has on the first daf of Megillah, Ayam Ma'ela Nizkarim Vena Asim, the 2 days of Purim and Shushan Purim. Yudalad and Tezlov Ador, Purim and Shushan Purim, these days are Nizkarim, they are spoken of. Not that they are remembered, that the Jews remember the Pesach. No, they are spoken of. In what way are they spoken of? So the Gemara says that's referring to Mikra Megillah, Nizkarim. Na'asim. Na'asim means we do the Shalach Manas, Matanas Lavyanim, and the Suda. Lasad my Mishta, the Simcha, Shalach Manas Yisrael, Matanas Lavyanim. Na'asim refers to the other mitzvahs of Yom, and Niskarim refers to the Kriyas HaMegillah. So the Mishnah is drawing a contrast. Akarius HaMegillah, the Balkari, lends the Megillah, he can either stand or sit, whatever he'd like to do. And then the Gemara says, Tanam Hasheni Kembatur, the first line in the Gemara after the Mishnah. All the things that the Mishnah has, the Dinam HaMikra Megillah, so the Brisa says, Tanami, it's a Brisa. Brisa, the Baal HaMor writes, he has a little contrast that's called Sefer HaTzova. It really was appended to the Sefer. The Baal HaMor has his Hasogas on the Rif. So the end of Chulin, after the Rif just ends on Chulin. It doesn't have anything after Chulin. So at the end of the Baal HaMor Chulin, the Baal HaMor wrote the Sefer HaTzova. He made a shtick, just like the Yud Gimel Midas HaTorah and the Dreshes Bam. How to read in between the lines in the Chumash. So the Yud Gimel Midas, that's what he came up with. Yud Gimel Midas, how to interpret Gemaras. So he has very interesting things there. So one of the things he points out is there are three ways to introduce a Braisa. Sometimes you say Tana Rabbanon, sometimes you say Tanya, and sometimes you say Tana. What's the difference? So he says Tana is a specific brisa that was composed as a commentary on an earlier Mishnah or an earlier brisa. Now go over here. The Mishnah occurs, HaMegillah Amid V'Yoshev. The Baal Kori can either lay in the Megillah standing and sitting. Masha'eni came by Torah, but by Kriyas HaTorah, the Baal Kori has to stand. He can't sit. So this brisa, it was composed as a commentary on the Mishnah. If you have the other kind of brisa, Tanu Rabbanan HaTanya, that stands alone. That's not a brisa that was composed to be a commentary on the Mishnah. This brisa, Tana is introducing like a Bar Tanura. The Tanaim wrote brises as the Torah's commentaries on the Mishnah. If the same comment really belongs, HaKori L'Mafreya, the beginning of the second parak is, if you read the Megillah out of water, in Adyot, all the psukim have to be in water. That's a person comes in 1 minute later, Mikra Megillah, he heard everything starting from the second pasuk. He missed the first pasuk. He hears the whole Megillah. Then after the Baal Kori finishes, then he says, he takes the Megillah and he reads the missing pasuk. So that's no good. You have to read all the psukim in water. If you call the mafrei, lo yotza. The Brisa says, this Brisa here in the beginning of the third parak, it refers to that too. Masha'eni came by Torah, by Kriyas HaTorah, if you read out of order, you are yotza. That's a sif in the Mechaber. Chava says, let's say they lay in Kriyas HaTorah, they gave 7 aliyahs on Shabbos Monday, everything was fine, and then they realized the Baal Kori left out a whole pasuk. Let's say he stopped at the Sheni, and then Shlishi, he started a pasuk later. Instead of starting where it says Sheni, well, he stopped off at the end of the Kohen's aliyah, he starts a pasuk later. So he missed the pasuk. Oh, he missed the word. He mispronounced the word in the pasuk, and they were trying to correct him, and he didn't listen, and they finished the whole Kriyas HaTorah. So what do you do? So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, even if it's ready, everybody went home and they made kiddush and they benched already, they finished the meal. They should gather together in the shul and give one aliyah later on. They already said, Kaddish Diskav, they finished Musa, they finished everything. They should gather together, give one aliyah, and just, you can't give an aliyah less than three psukim. They have to learn the pasuk that you skipped, or the pasuk that has the word that you skipped, or that you mispronounced, and another two psukim, either before or after, five altogether, has to be a minimum of three psukim, and you yotzei that. So the Acharonim are bothered with the kashin, but you're learning lamafre, you're learning out of water. How can you say that you yotzei if you learn out of water? So that's what the Acharonim answer. I think the Marsham has it in the Sefer Das Torah and Erchaim. He says, just like the Brisa says, Akor is Hamigilah Oimed V'Yoshei, Masheini Kein Batorah, all the dinim about Mikra Megillah is Masheini Kein Batorah. So Akor lamafre lo yotzei is also Masheini Kein Batorah. If you learn Kriyas HaTorah lamafre, you would be yotzei. Remember when Rav Soloveitchik was bothered with that kasha that the Marsham deals with in the Sefer Das Torah. So Rav Soloveitchik worded the kasha like this. Let's say you'll read Parshas Pinchas and you say, on Shavuos you have to bring the following Musafim, and you read the Musafim that it says on Shmini Atzeres. Then on Shmini Atzeres say you have to bring Musafim. You read the Musafim that it says on Shavuos. It's not the same number of Purim and Elim and Kvosim. It's a different number. You're going to say, on Shmini Atzeres, you're going to say the Karbonos from the first day of Sukkot. The first day of Sukkot is 13 Purim. On Shmini Atzeres is not 13 Purim. So he said, if you're going to lay out of order, you can ruin the whole story. You can misrepresent the whole din. Don't you have to lay Kriyas HaTorah Kichsavay? So that's what the Marsham answers, no. Just like it says here, Ma'asheni Ken Batera, it goes on the Mafrei also, Kari LaMafreya by Kriyas HaTorah, unless you distorted the whole story. The story has to be told in the correct order. If you say it out of order, sometimes you ruin the whole story. But that's how the Mishnah says. The Balkari by the Mikra Megillah can either stand or sit, but by Kriyas HaTorah, the din that he has to stand. Yeah, the Rambam writes, this halacha that the Balkari who reads the Megillah can either stand or sit, this is only if he's laning for a small group of people where there's no minyan. But if he's laning for a tzibur of asor or more, then out of respect for the tzibur, the Balkari has to stand. Does the tzibur have to stand? Why should the tzibur have to stand? Says the Balkari. Balkari can lay in sitting. The Balkari only has to stand if he's laying for the tzibur. The Pashtus says the tzibur does not have to stand. So the Machzis HaShekel, if you look in the big Shulchan Aruch, Machzis HaShekel is a commentary on the Magen Avraham. Because the Magen Avraham writes very often, very briefly, very bekitzer. Rav Soloveitchik thought that one year when we were learning Aruch Chaim with the Magen Avraham and the Bir Agro, so he was under the impression that the Magen Avraham probably gave a shir every morning after Shacharis. Then he jotted down briefly what he said. Bekitzer nimrutz. A lot of times he doesn't give a full sentence. A lot of times he just says, look over there and you'll understand. You look over there, you're not sure what he's driving at. So you have the Machzor Shekel on the bottom of the page. You have the Prima Godim in the back, but you have the Machzor Shekel also. So the Machzor Shekel writes that all Birchas HaMitzvah have to be recited by Amida. So even though the Tzibur is allowed to sit for Mikra Megillah, but everybody has to stand when the Balkari says the three brachas, on Mikra Megillah and Shosa Nisim and Shachyonim, everybody has to stand. So that's highly questionable. Maybe the din is correct. Maybe you have to stand for the bracha of a mitzvah, where the mitzvah is supposed to be fulfilled by Amida. So not only do you need Amida for the mitzvah, you need Amida for the bracha as well. But if for the Mikra Megillah itself, you're allowed to sit, the tzibur can sit. The only one who has to stand, the Balkari has to stand. If he's laying for a sorrow out of respect, then they call it a tzibur, the Rambam says. Mishnah says the Balkari can sit. So the Rambam understood the Mishnah is only talking if he's laying without a minyan. But if he's laying for a sorrow, he has to stand out of respect for the tzibur. But the tzibur doesn't have to stand for the Mikra Megillah. Why do they have to stand for the bracha? I don't remember, before I moved to New York, when I lived in Pennsylvania, I don't remember ever standing for the brachas of the Mikra Megillah. I seem to remember that we sat. But here in New York, there's a different world. Everybody reads Mishnah Berurah. And in Pennsylvania, we didn't have a Mishnah Berurah. We didn't possess a Mishnah Berurah. But in New York, everybody reads Mishnah. Mishnah Berurah happens to have quoted that Machzor Shekel, that even though the Hotzibur is permitted to sit during Mikra Megillah, but they have to stand for the brachas. That's questionable. Not all Achrayim agree to that. Pnei Yeshua and others are not in agreement. So Mikra Megillah is Medivri Kabbalah. It says in Tanakh, it says Yamvel and Niskarim and Asim, just like Shalach Manas Matanas Lavyanim. In Surah Spurim, Das Zos Mamishta Bisim, Shalach Manas Shem Matanas Lavyanim. So Mirka Megillah is also Medivri Kabbalah. That's what the Rebbe Kiveger on the Shulchan Aruch, on the bottom of the page in the big Shulchan Aruch, Rebbe Kiveger quotes the Turi Eben. Turi Eben is a sefer written by the Shagas Aryeh on Megillah and on some other, on Rosh Hashanah also. So the Turi Eben writes like that. He thinks that Mikra Megillah is Medivri Kabbalah, and the Gemara has in one place, Dibri Kabbalah Kedivri Torah Damya. It's a question to what extent. So the Turi Eben understands, just like Sveika Daraisa Luchumra, so Suffolk, there are dinim deraisa, dinim derabanan. Then there are dinim derabanan that have the approval of the Bezon Shalmailo. How do you see? Because they're incorporated in the Kisvei HaKodesh. Kisvei HaKodesh were written Baruch HaKodesh. So if Esther, Mordechai and Esther wrote, Latich de Esther, Esther wrote the Megillah, Esther Mordechai wrote the Megillah, and it was incorporated into the Kisvei HaKodesh, means it was written Baruch HaKodesh. So this din de rabbana, not Mikra Megillah, it's not a din de raisa. The din de rabbana has the approval of the Bezon Shamah. That's called Dibri Kabbalah. So Gemara has an expression, but they get to a different din, Dibri Kabbalah, Kedibri Tere Damya. I treat it like a din de raisa. So the Shagas Aryeh writes, just like Safik de raisa luchuma, Safik Dibri Kabbalah should be luchuma, because Dibri Kabbalah, Kedibri Tere Damya. So let's say a person is not sure whether he read the Megillah for himself. He's not sure, maybe he skipped the word. So the Shagas Aryeh writes in the Turi Eben, he thinks that Sofik Dibri Kabbalah is Lachumr, Dibri Kabbalah Kedibri Torah Damyan. It's a question whether it's really so. Is that called Dibri Kabbalah? It doesn't say explicitly in the Megillah says, it says, Hayam Vela Niz Karim, they are spoken of. That's our tradition, that's what it means. But it doesn't really say explicitly. How they say it's only called Dibri Kabbalah. There it describes the day. Hayam Vela Niz Karim, the Megillah is read. It doesn't say you have to read the Megillah on Purim. It says the Megillah is read annually on Purim. But it's not Peloshen Tzibu, it's Peloshen Tzibu Maisa. Well, in this Karim, the days are spoken of by virtue of the fact that everybody reads the Megillah on Purim. It doesn't say Peloshen Tzibu. So that's a question, the Achrayim are not so convinced that the Turi Eben is right. Rabbi Kiveger quotes the Turi Eben, the Sofik Dibri Kabbalah should be like a Sofik Daraisa L'chumra. And others are not so convinced that it has a status of Dibri Kabbalah, because it doesn't appear Beloshen Tzivu. So shy. Anyway, that's the opening line in the parak. Hakoros Megillah Amid V'Yoshi. Kora Echad Kira'u Hashnayim. You can have either one Balkora Kenei, or you can have two Balakriya Leining simultaneously. So Rashi explains, he got it from the Gemara. Now usually we have a cloud, Trei Kumbali Lo Mishtami. If two people are saying Kiddush, let's say on Friday nights, if they're part of a choir and they're singing together in unison, so that you hear only one voice. You hear everything blends in together if it's a good choir. But if two people are saying Kiddush and each one is at a different place, the two are a different place, and I'm a third person, and I'm supposed to be out to which Shemekon, either hearing for one or the other, Gemara says, Trei Kolei Lo Mishtami. He's not gonna be out, say. Because they're both talking at the same time. You can't hear two people talk at the same time. So the Gemara has an exception to the rule by Mikra Megillah. Why? Because since it only comes once a year, it's Chaviv, and therefore Yadi Datayah, the people will pay attention. That's why it says in the Mishnah, Kiro Echad, one Bal Kerub is laying in the Megillah, or Kerubu Ashnayim. If two people were laying simultaneously, we don't Pasolit. We don't say Trei Kolei Lo Mishtami. It's Haydei Dechaviv because it only comes once a year. Yavi Datai, they'll pay attention, and Trei Kolei will be Mishtami. That's a shah, let's say, a lot of people eating in the Sukkah together on Yom Tov. Or a Seder, let's say, you have a Pesach Seder, and a few people are reciting Kiddush simultaneously. Instead of having one say Kiddush and the other one say Kiddush, each one will say Kiddush to his family, the other one say Kiddush to his family. So they're all saying Kiddush at the same time. So if they're trying to chime in to say the same word, it's the same diggin, that's like a choir, okay, so that's Trei Kolei Mishtami, if it's a good choir. But if each one is saying at a different speed, and then it should be an issue of trei kol elam shtam. Some shulchan aruch, some achrenim say, but Pesach, it only comes once a year. Shavuos, rare, you know, only once a year, a couple of days like that. It's not like Kiddush every Shabbos. That's a standard thing. Maybe just like Mikra Megillah is only once a year, twice a year, Balayla or Bayom. Read the Megillah, Balayla, read the Megillah, Bayom. So just like Megillah, I did the Chavivi Gavi Datayu, and there'll be Yotze. So the same could be by Kiddush and Yom Tov. By Kiddush on Shabbos, they say it can't be Yotze if two people are saying Kiddush at the same time, if they're not trying to synchronize it, they're not synchronizing it well. So that's the Mishnah. When the Rambam writes that din, the Rambam writes even if 10 people were reading the Mishnah is Kira'a Echad or Kira'u Ashlaim, two Balakriya reading simultaneously. The Rambam gives the example, 10 people in the same room reading the Megillah at the same time, each one at a different speed, and I want to pay attention to this one. So why did the Rambam give the Mashal of 10? That's what some say. The Gemara has a discussion in the beginning of Megillah, Machlekes Rav and Rav Asi. If you read the Megillah Shaloi Bizmana, in the days of the Bais Sheni, story of Purim occurred right before the Bais Sheni was completed, a year or two before the completion of the Binyan Bais Sheni. So the whole Bais Sheni, they celebrated Purim, and then there was an institution of Yom HaKnisa. That's the opening Mishnah, the Beis Haman Aleph and Megillah. That if Purim falls out on a day other than Sheni v'Chamishi, so the Chachamim were makel that you can read the Megillah if Bnei Hakfarim. If you live in a big city, you have to hear the Megillah Bismana. But they were makel for the Bnei Hakfarim, those who live in a little village. Then the Gemara has a whole discussion. What's the definition of a little village? What's the population? What's the minimum population, maximum population? How do you determine whether it's a near or a kfar? Let's say if I have a little village so that we were makel on them, shalach manis matanis lav yoinim in the suda. Let's see, a shalach manis in the suda you have to do on Purim. Matanis lav yoinim that has to be connected with the mikra megillah. So they were makel regarding mikra megillah and the matanis lav yoinim that you can fulfill those mitzvahs, the mikra megillah with the matanis lav yoinim on the Monday and Thursday before Purim. Unless Purim falls out on a Monday or Thursday, then they don't have the kula of the Yom HaKnisa. But the Yom HaKnisa, the Zman Bais Sheni, they had such an institution. The Gemara says there on the next Daf Gimel, after the Churban Bais Sheni, the Jews were sent into Golas Arba Kamtas Haaretz, and until the days of Abai Verove were deep into the days of the Amorim, till the days of Abai Verove, they still, the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael, their counterparts. He can't do Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashan and Bovel. Abai v'Rabba didn't have smicha. You can only get smicha if you're in Eretz Yisrael. So the one who's conferring the smicha has to be in Eretz Yisrael. The one who's receiving it has to be in Eretz Yisrael. They don't have to be in the presence of each other, but they both have to be in Eretz Yisrael. So Abai v'Rabba didn't have any smicha, and they couldn't do Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashanah. But the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, till in the middle of the lifetime of Abai v'Rabba, they used to do Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashanah by a Bezdin, and then they established Luach Kavua during their lifetime. That's how the Rambam quotes in Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Till the days of Abai and Rabba, they still did Kiddush HaChodesh al Pi Hariya in Eretz Yisrael, and Ibra Hashanah every year they would calculate. And then they fixed the Luach Kavua, the fixed calendar, and everything is set up already. So the Gemara says, after the destruction of the Second Beis Hamikdash, the Jews were sent all over Arba Kamtas Haaretz, hardly any Jews in Eretz Yisrael at all. So the Chachamim did away with this kula, that they allowed the Bnei HaKforim, the people who live in the small villages, to lay in the Megillah, to be out in the Megillah, and to give Matanis Lavyanim on the Monday and Thursday before Purim, because everybody knows that a month after Purim is going to be Pesach. So the people, but over here it's not true. It's a month after Purim, not a month after the Yom HaKnisa. So if you're going to allow people to read the Megillah, you'll still have the kula that existed as manabayis, that you're allowed to lay in the Megillah and the Yom HaKnisa the Monday or Thursday before Purim, if Purim didn't fall out on a Monday or Thursday, if they'll continue to permit that after the Churban HaBayis to make a real Churban, people will be observing Pesach a day or two earlier than they ought to, because everybody will have this bug in their head. Oh, Pesach is a month after Purim. Purim was on a Wednesday, so 4.5 weeks later, Pesach will be on a Wednesday. And it's not so. If it's the Yom HaKnisa, it's going to be a month after when Purim really is, not a month after the Yom HaKnisa. That's what they did away with the din of the Yom HaKnisa. But there was such an institution. They allowed the Bnei HaKforim to be Magdim, to read the Megillah on the Yom HaKnisa before the day of Purim. So the Gemara says, whenever you're reading the Megillah Shaloi Bizmano, you're reading on the Yom HaKnisa, you have to have the Minyan Asorah. Because hardly anybody is reading it then. When you have the Megillah, we don't have the Yom HaKnisa institution anymore. So everybody reads the Megillah on Purim. So all over the world, they're reading the Megillah on Purim. So there's no issue of Pirsumei Nisa. All over, everybody's reading the Megillah today, not an issue. Everybody knows, and Yoros HaMakaf, Eschaima, all of them, they're reading the Megillah on Tezvav, and the rest of the world is reading the Megillah on Yud Dal. If you have a Yom HaKnisa, then you need Asorah. The Shaila is, what about not a Yom HaKnisa? What if you're laying the Megillah on Purim itself? Do you need Asorah or not? So we pass, and you don't need Asorah. That's what we just explained. This Mishnah that says, HaKperos HaMegillah, Oymed V'yoshev, either way is acceptable. That's only if the Rambam explained, that's only if the Bakari is reading the Megillah for a small crowd of less than 10. But if he has a Asorah out of Kabbat HaTzibur, he has to lay in Bamidi, he has to stand. Kriyas HaTorah, you always need a Asorah. So that's why the Bakari has to stay. Mashiach Nikim B'Torah. Tana, that's the Bryce, the Tana Shenikim HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah has to be, the Balkari has to stand. But Kriyas HaMegillah, since he can lay the Megillah for a smaller group, so he can lay the Yeshiva also. So that's a Machloikis, Rav and Rav Asi. Rav Asi was a Talmud of Rav. Rav held that when you read the Megillah, Kriyas HaMegillah, Bizmana, there's no need for Asorah. You don't need a minion. It's going to be Pesumei Nisa. Everybody in town is reading the Megillah today. So even though you didn't hear it, Basara, but everybody, there's Pesumei Nisa all over the place. And Rav Asi, the Talmud of Rav, was of the opinion that even Megillah Bizmana, you always need Asara. You always have to have a minion. The Rishonim ask Akasha, there's a Mishnah later of Gimel on the base that lists off all the things that need a minion. It says, Kriyas HaTorah, Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu Duchening Maimur Moshav Tanchumi Avelim Shura Basara. Yeah, the Mishnah lists off all the things that need Asara. All Mishnah Chav Gimel and Beis. It doesn't mention that Mikra Megillah needs Asara. So isn't it the Feirish like Rav that you Halacha Lamayit that you don't need a minyan for Mikra Megillah? Megillah Shalai Bizmano, you need Asara. Why wasn't it mentioned? That's an exception to the rule. And Bizmano said, we don't have that Yom HaKnisa institution anymore. The Gemara said, after the Gemara signed up Gimel, after the Churban Bayis Sheni, they did away with this Kula, that we allow the Bnei HaKforim to be Yotzei Mikra Megillah on the Yom HaKnisa. So we don't have it anymore. So that's why the Mishnah didn't mention. But if the din would have been like Rav Asi, that Mikra Megillah, even Bizmano, always needs Asara. So how come it doesn't mention when it lists off all the things? So Tosfos says it's a raya from the Mishnah that the whole machlokes is Rav and Rav Asi, whether Mikra Megillah Bizmano needs Asara. All machlokes is lachatchila. But the Yevit for sure, it's not Niyakim. The Mishnah is only listing off all the things that Asara is Likuva. You can't say Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu, you can't say Chazor Sashatz, Kriyas HaTorah, in Shura, in the cemetery, when you have the Nicham Avelim, Betzibur, Ein Shura, Pchulas Masor, you have to have 10 Menachemim. If you don't have 10 Menachemim, you don't make a Shura. There's Nicham Avelim B'yochin, and Nicham Avelim Betzibur. Nicham Avelim Betzibur, that's the din in Sanhedrin, in second period, Ein Shura, Pchulas Masor. So that's what Tosfos answers on in the beginning of the Masechta, that the Mishnah doesn't contradict Rav Asi. Rav Asi says that even Mikra Megillah Bizmana needs Asara. Mishnah doesn't mention it, so he says the whole machlokes Rav Asi is lachatchila. But the Eved, nobody holds that it's me'akim. Not all the Rishonim agree. The Ramban gives a different answer on that kasha. Ramban and Baal HaMor have this machlokes, whether the machlokes is Rav Asi, whether Mikra Megillah Bizmana needs Asara, was that a machlokes lachatchila, was that a machlokes leikuva? So the Ramban thinks it's even leikuva. He says it doesn't belong in the Mishnah. Even if Rav Asi is right, the Mikra Megillah, even Bizmara needs Asara, it wouldn't be mentioned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is listing off things that Rechaybos HaTzibur, Chazaras HaShatz, and Kriyas HaTzibur, and Kaddish Kedusha Bachu, you only mechuyev to do it if you have a minyan. Duchani. If you don't have a minyan, then no chiyev to do duchani. Mikra Megillah, Hakol Chayov and Mikra Megillah. Everyone is mechuyev Mikra Megillah. Rabasi is of the opinion you cannot fulfill, you can't be mekayim the mitzvah unless you have asara. So you have to go look for a minyan. You have to go discover a minyan somewhere. You have to go travel somewhere to go find a minyan. But it's not that it's only chayvus hatzibur. Kriyas haTorah is chayvus hatzibur. But Rik Megillah is a chayvus hayochid. That's the Ramban. That's the Rav Soloveitchik used to say every so often. He would tell over his two grandfathers had a machloikis. So he says, a grandfather Abchaim, Zeder Abchaim Soloveitchik, his father's father, thought that Chiyuv Kriyas haTorah is a chayvus hayochid, which you can only fulfill if you have a tzibur. So a lot of times he would be traveling to a kenis of Rabbonim, rabbinic conference. He would go by train or by coach, whatever, and he would miss Kriyas haTorah and Sheni v'Chamishi. So he would always make sure that he would stop off in some village before nightfall and gather together a minyan of 10 people who missed Kriyas haTorah in the morning. And then they would lay in later in the day, because he felt that Kriyas haTorah is a chayvus hayochid, which can only be fulfilled with tzibur. And his other Zeda, Rabelia Prusina, his mother's father, held faket. He held that it's only a chayvus hatzibur, not a chayvus hayochid. Rav Soloveitchik said, as a young child, till his around his bar mitzvah, he hardly ever visited Barab Chaim. They rarely visited, maybe 4 or 5 times, I think he said. And so he remembers on one occasion he's going to visit the Zeder Rab Chaim. So his other Zeder, Rabbi Prusin, his mother's father, told him, when you see the Zeder Rab Chaim, show him this Ramban on the Megillah. Ramban writes in the beginning of the Sichta, on the bottom of the page of the Rif, that the reason why the Mishnah doesn't mention Achav Gimel and Beis, Mishnah doesn't mention that Mikra Megillah needs Asara, according to Rav Asi, need a minyan, because Mikra Megillah is a Chayvus HaYochid, which needs a minyan to be Mekayim. The Mishnah only is listing off things that are Chayvus HaTzibur. So the Ramban says beferish that Kriyas HaTorah is a Chayvus HaTzibur, not a Chayvus HaYochid. The Mishnah Brura quotes that Ramban. In the Bir Halacha, he quotes that Ramban also. That Kriyas HaTorah is a Chayvus HaTzibur, not a Chayvus HaYochid. Mikra Megillah is a Chayvus HaYochid, which according to Rav Asi, need a minyan to fulfill. That's why it doesn't belong in the Mishnah. So he says, Rav Soloveitchik said when he told over the Zeder Rav Chaim what his other Zeder said, Rav Chaim looked in the Ramban, he reinterpreted the whole Ramban. That came out not only what is not a kasha against him, it was a raya to what he said. And then when he went back to the other Zeder and he told him how Rav Chaim reinterpreted the Ramban, he said he was making fun. He said that Zeder Rav Chaim with the Eisen Ivre, he reinterpreted the whole Ramban. Not only Nishkan Kasha became a Raya, how can it be? I don't know. They no one knows how it can be a Raya. No one knows how to read it otherwise. Anyway, so that's what the Mishnah here, Kari Oymed V'yoshev, is according to the Braisa, with contrast in Kriyas HaTorah, the Mikra Megillah. Yeah. Then the Mishnah has a strange line. It depends on the meaning of Malkum whether you recite the Bracha Mikra Megillah. How can that be? We have a Klal Kol HaMitzvahs Kulam. That's the Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Zion. Gemara says when you do B'dikas Chometz, you have to say a Bracha Oivelasiyasam, even if you do not only a Mitzvah Deraisa, even a Mitzvah Derabbanan also. The Gemara has a whole discussion of Echad Tzivanu. How can you say Asher Keshonah that it's also with Tzivano I had lockers there as Chanukah and Mikra Megillah HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't instruct us, that's only with the Rabbanan. How can you say with Tzivano? So the Gemara has the whole discussion, you do say with Tzivano even on a mitzvah of the Rabbanan. If you're only doing a minik like Chatzi Halal HaMash Chedesh, that's a big machlekes whether you recite the Bracha or had lockers there as on Erev Yom Kippur. Simple reading of the Gemara is that it's only a minik. So Mishanim reinterpret the Gemara, but the Poshib Shani Gemara is that Hadlokas Haneres, Haneres Yom Kippur is only a minute for married people. Single people have no shaykhas with it, and because it's only a minute, it should be a machlekes. It is a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, where they recite the Bracha. The Ramah presents the practice of the Ashkenazim, that we recite a bracha on Chatzi Halal on Rosh Chodesh, so we should recite a bracha on Hadlakas HaNeres on Erev Yom Kippur as well, even though it's only a minig. And the Mechaber represents the Psak HaMekubal by the Svardim, that you don't say a bracha on Chatzi Halal on Rosh Chodesh because it's only a minig, but what the Nami is, you shouldn't say a bracha on Hadlakas HaNeres on Erev Yom Kippur because it's only a minig. So this appella, the Mishnah says it depends whether you say a bracha and Mikra Megillah, depends whether Makam Shenogel Levarach, Makam Shenogel Shalol Levarach. The Gemara is going to ask, no, Kala Mitzvah is Kum Levarach and I'm Avel Asiyasim. And for the Gemara, no, we're talking about Haravis Rivenu Adonis Dinenu, the bracha Shel Achreha. The bracha, the three brachas that you say before Mikra Megillah, Lishma Mikra Megillah, Shasan Nisim and Shachyonu, that doesn't depend on Minig HaMakam, that's on the as well. The bracha that you recite after Mikra Megillah, that depends on the Minhag HaMakom. Same thing, Halal. There's such a Mishnah that before you recite Halal, you say, Hashem Kedoshanu Mitzvah Tzivanu Likro Sahalel, whether Halal is Deraisa Derabbanan, you say, bracha. The bracha yehalalucha after the conclusion of the halal, that the Mishnah says depends on the minhag HaMakom. So that's what the Mishnah means over here also. The reciting of the bracha after Mikra Megillah. Rav Tasri from Dantas Harabis Rebbeinu Adonis Deino Adakim Snik Masenu. That bracha depends on the minhag HaMakom. It doesn't mean that the minig developed a bracha. No, it means Achiknes HaGadola composed a bracha as an optional bracha. They composed the bracha of Yehalalucha at the end of the Halal. And Rabbis Rivenu, Achiknes HaGadola composed all of the bracha. But these brachas they instituted as an optional bracha. If you want to say this bracha, doesn't necessarily mean that the minig developed that you make up the bracha Yesh Me'ai. It could be the bracha was composed by the Achiknes HaGadola. Yeah. Then the Mishnah is going to talk about Kriya Satorah now. So the Mishnah has, sometimes Kriya Satorah you have three aliyahs, four aliyahs, five, six, seven. Five different kinds. Sheni v'chamishi and v'shabbos b'mincha. Monday morning, Thursday morning, and Shabbos afternoon to mincha, you give three aliyahs. Then Rosh Chodesh Chol HaMoed, you give four aliyahs. Yom Tov, you give five aliyahs. And then Yom Kippur and Shabbos are vying for the top spot. So that's a machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Akiva's opinion is not accepted here. Rabbi Akiva's of the opinion that Yom Kippur is seven and Shabbos is six. Yom Kippur is on the top with seven aliyahs because Kapor Slicha, that's only on Yom Kippur. Our practice is like the Mishnah says, like Rabbi Shmuel, who disagrees with Rabbi Akiva, that Yom Kippur is six aliyahs, and Shabbos is seven aliyahs. The Gemara explains, the more important the day is, the more Kedusha the day has. A regular Monday or Thursday, you only give three aliyahs, I'm sure. Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed have Kedusha, but less than Yom Tov, lower than Yom Tov, so you give four aliyahs. Yom Tov has five aliyahs, and then Yom Kippur and Shabbos, that's the machlokes, which has the six, which has the seven. Yeah, what's the story with Hoisophus? Let's say, on Yom Tov, you give five aliyahs. Can you make any hoisopfis? So the Mishnah is a little unclear. So the Mishnah says, V'sheni v'chamishi, Shabbos to Mincha, you only give three aliyahs, ein pach sepmehem. You cannot learn Kriyas HaTorah and give less than three aliyahs. Three aliyahs is the minimum. Ein pach sepmehem. We said the din before, the people heard Kriyas HaTorah in Shul on Shabbos morning, and then afterwards they realized that they left out one pasuk, they left out one word, or Balkorim mispronounced a word. A lot of times Balakriyim mispronounce a word. Yeah. So let's say he left out a word and mispronounced the word, so they realize it's Ma'akid B'dievet, so they reconvene 3 hours later, the same people who missed that word, they should all gather together after benching, Shabbos afternoon. If they realize it earlier, do it earlier, before you go away. But if they don't, even if they can't get together, we once had it in the bungalow colony. We had a boy who was laning, it was his bar mitzvah parsha, he was already bar mitzvah earlier, I think. He was making mistakes on every single pasuk. It was scandalous. Every single pasuk was a disaster. we think that each one of the seven aliyahs got at least three psukim that were good b'diavad. But we were missing words here and there. We didn't hear a lot of psukim that we knew we weren't yotzei. So we didn't want to hurt his feelings. So we gathered together. We had a bungalow colony. Most of the people from yeshiva, Rabbi Eman yeshiva, Rabbi Parnas, Rabbi Yagid, and Moshe Fein, others. So we gathered together in town. We walked to town, and we learned Kriyas HaTorah from the beginning to the end, because we missed every other pasuk. We missed. We thought that every aliyah had three psukim that were good b'diavad, but every other pasuk we missed. So we learned over everything. So that's not a shaila. You're giving only one aliyah. No, we gave seven aliyahs in the morning, b'diavad we were yotzei the seven aliyahs, and then we gave an eighth aliyah in the afternoon. It was the same group of people who heard the seven aliyahs in the morning. You're not supposed to say Kaddish in the middle. Okay, so we did wrong. So the b'diavad is not a bracha l'matola. He said Kaddish after part of the Kriyas HaTorah. But I remember we once had that case that we had to do like that. So Monday and Thursday morning, Ein Pachs Mem, you don't give less than three aliyahs. However, Ein Masif Malehim, you don't give, you never have Kriyas HaTorah less than three psukim. Ein Masif Malehim, you're not allowed to make koi sopas. Yeah, why not? But Monday or Thursday morning, people have to go to work. So you can't make koi sopas. People have to run to work. There's Bitul Malachim. And also, Ein Maftir Minovi. There's no institution to have a Haftarah. Not on Sheni V'Chamishi, and not on Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed. On Yontif and Shabbos and Yom Tov and Shabbos and Yom Kippur, there you have a Haftarah. But on Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh, on a regular weekday, there is no Haftarah. Same reason. There's Bitul Malacha. People have to go to work. Yeah. Even though Chol HaMoed is not supposed to go to work, but a lot of people have to go to work. They have Dov HaHavid. They have no choice. They have to go to work. So you can't make Koi Sofis on Sheni V'Chamishi or on Rosh Chodesh Chol HaMoed. What about the next three on Yom Tov? You can't say Bitul Malacha. No one's running to work. Everybody takes off. On Yom Tov and Shabbos and Yom Kippur, when you have five aliyahs, six aliyahs, seven aliyahs, no one's going to work. So that's a question. How do you read the Mishnah? The Mishnah has on the first very wide line, on Chofal Amar, the Mishnah has, B'Yom Tov Chamisha, B'Yom Kippur Shisha, B'Shabbos Shiva, in Pachs Mem, you can't give less than five aliyahs, six aliyahs, seven. And with Masif Amalem, you may make Koi Sofis. It goes on all three, on Yom Tov, and on Shabbos, and on Yom Kippur. Or maybe it only goes on the one that has seven aliyahs. That's on the top of the list. So that you can make as many aliyahs as you want. Maybe you can't make Koi Sofis on Yom Tov because you shouldn't give Yom Tov the Chashivas like Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur has six aliyahs. Yom Kippur you shouldn't give seven because Shabbos has the Chashivas, has seven aliyahs. So you're not allowed to be Mechabed Yom Kippur with the same extent that we're Mechabed Shabbos. But Shabbos has seven aliyahs. That's on top of the list. So Shabbos you're allowed to make Koi Sofis. Well, maybe we should say, no, there's nothing wrong with bidding six aliyahs on Yom Tov and seven aliyahs on Yom Kippur. Make all the Hosafos you want. On Sheni V'Chamishi, or Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, there's Bitul Malacha. Then we say, Ein Masif Malehim. So that's a big machlokes in the Mishnah. How do we paskin? So Halacha L'maase, what do we do on Simchas Torah? Simchas Torah, we give on Ashir Aliyahs. We make so many Hosafos, everybody in Shul gets an Aliyah. Everybody gets an Aliyah. So we see that we paskin Halacha L'maase, that you are permitted to make Hosafos. On Yom Tov, we give way more than Simchas Torah should be on Yom Tov. We should only have five aliyahs. We give 1,000 aliyahs. Depends how many people in the shul get 1,000 aliyahs. We make a lot of hosafos. Yeah. One could argue the point today on Simchas on all the other Yom Tov aside from Simchas Torah, you lain a Yom Tov de Kriya. On Simchas Torah, we lain a Shabbos de Kriya. Lain the Parsha Sashavua. So maybe you're only allowed to make Koi Sofis when it's a Yom Tov Dikei Kriya. But it's maybe I said it wrong. Maybe you're only permitted to give Koi Sofis when it's a Shabbos Dikei Kriya, like on Simchas Torah Lain, with Zayis HaBracha. That's Parsha Sashavua. You don't lain Shorah Kesev Eis Kivalei. You don't lain Aset Aset. you're learning a Shabbos, take a whole parsha of Shavuos, and maybe we only allow Hesophos then. So that's a machloikas. The Rabbi Natam says it's wrong. The Rabbi Natam has the following. There is a machloikas in the Gemara, later in the Perek, whether mafter oyle leminyan akruim, or aim after oyle leminyan akruim. Let's say on Shabbos, you have to have seven aliyahs and maftir. So who's maftir means you have seven aliyahs, and in addition to the seven aliyahs, you have maftir. And maftir is not oyle leminyan akruim. Maftir should be a separate one. But he's saying, no, maftir is one of the aliyahs. So by us, maftir is not one of the aliyahs. By us, it's a stira. On Shabbos, we give seven aliyahs, and we say chatzikaris, then we have maftir. So the maftir is not one of the seven, it's separate. And Yom Tov, we give five aliyahs, and we say chatzi kaddish, and then we have the maftir, it's separate. We learn from Pinchas. And on Yom Kippur also, you give six aliyahs, and you give maftir. Maftir is not oil in the minyakruin. On a tiny sibur, you give three aliyahs, and the third one is the maftir. So that's a problem. What's the din? Is the maftir counted as one of the aliyahs or is it not? On a tiny sibur, we count the maftir as one of the aliyahs. And on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur, the maftir is not one of the aliyahs. The maftir is in addition. So the Rabbeinu Tam had a machlokes with the Rabbeinu Meshulam. This doesn't quote the whole story. This just quotes the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that the fact that on a tiny sibur, the shlishi is the maftir, that shows that mikra din we paska maftir oyle leminyan akruim, and on a tiny sibur you only give three aliyahs, you don't make any hosafas. So you're not allowed to lay maftir as a separate aliyah. Maftir has to be the third shlishi. Shlishi is going to be maftir. Mashenikain on Shabbos and Yom Tov and on Yom Kippur, that you're allowed to make all the hosafas you want. So Rabbeinu Tam says it was a machlekes in the Gemara whether maftir oyle the minyan akruim or not, whether the maftir should be in addition to the minyan akruim or the last one of the minyan akruim. So why not satisfy all the opinions? You're allowed to make hosafos. So why not satisfy all the opinions? So according to Rabbeinu Tam, the ikar din really is like we do on a tanis sibur, that the shlishi should be the maftir or on a tiny sibur, that shlishi is the maftir. So on Yom Kippur, the shishi should be the maftir. And on Yom Tov, the chamishi should really be the maftir. On Shabbos, the shvi should be the maftir. The fact that we don't do that, that's because Rabbeinu Tam says, may as well satisfy all the opinion. You're allowed to make hosafos. So make hosafos and make everybody happy. Yes, so that's the assumption of the Rabbeinu Tam, that you're allowed to make hosafos not only on Shabbos, but on Yom Tov and on Yom Kippur also you can make hosafos. But the Ran on the Rif presents the other position. Maybe when the Mishnah says Yom Tov Chamisha, Yom Kippur Shisha, Shabbos Shiva, Mosif Malem, only goes on Yom Kippur. Maybe it doesn't go on Yom Tov and on. Maybe it only goes on Shabbos that you're allowed to make hosafos. Shabbos on top of the list. Shabbos has the highest number. Maybe you're not allowed to make hosafos on Yom Tov because you're giving Yom Tov the chashivas like Yom Kippur. Not allowed to make hosafos on Yom Kippur, you're giving Yom Kippur the chashivas like Shabbos to give it seven aliyahs instead of six. Only Shabbos we allow hosafos. So the minig usually is that you only do hosafos on Shabbos. You don't make any hosafos on Yom Tov. We're machmer on that. But lemaisa, if you hold like the Rabbeinu Tam, we're not machmer. Every Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur, whenever you give a maftir, it's always in addition to the minyan akruin. So we're always making a hosafa. Every Yom Kippur they make one hosafa, the maftir, and every Yom Tov they make a hosafa. So it's, the meaning is you don't make more hosafas, but the fact that you make that hosafa, that itself, because mikra then the maftir is all of the minyan akruin. That's why in a tiny sibur, that's the Rabbeinu Tam shita. And the Rabbeinu Meshulam disagreed. The Rabbeinu Meshulam held me'ikar adin. We seem to pask maftir is not oyle leminyan akruin. Maftir has to be separate. I said, how do you understand on a tiny sibur the shlishi is the maftir? So it does not show like the Rabbeinu Tam. Me'ikar adin, we pask maftir is oyle leminyan akruin. Because on a tiny sibur you're not allowed to make hosafos. You only give three aliyahs. And the third one is the maftir. So it's a little unclear. What is Rabbeinu Meshulam How did Rabbeinu Meshulam understand this? So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out the Gemara has a machloikes. How many aliyahs do you give on a tainus? So one tana says you give one aliyah. You give one aliyah, and he lends the haftarah. And we don't pass like that. We pass on there's such thing as kriyas haftarah, less than three aliyahs. You have to have three aliyahs, and the third one will be them after. How come there was one tana who holds that tana tana sibur? You only give aliyah, one aliyah. So Rav Soloveitchik explained within the Rabbeinu Meshulam that Rabbeinu Meshulam holds that Mikra Din Maftar is not Oilel L'Minyan Akruim. That's why on Yontif and Yom Kippur and Shabbos you give five aliyahs, six aliyahs, seven aliyahs. The Maftar has to be separate. The Maftar is not Oilel L'Minyan Akruim. It's not like Rabbeinu Tam. You're allowed to make kosofas anyway. So why not make all the opinions, satisfy all the opinions? No, he holds a mikra din, and mafta is not oil in the mikra. Only on tainus sibur it is. Why? Because on tainus sibur, we don't need to lane kriyas haftarah. We only want to lane the haftarah. Because the Nevi'im used to give musar and tachacha. Everybody should do tshuva. That's what the tainus sibur is all about. That's what a tainus is for, to get all the people to do tshuva. So that's why you really only want to lay on a tainus sibur, the haftarah. The Novi, Divush Hashem Behim Otso, the Novi gives Musar and Terchacha. But the din is in the Gemara, Hamafta Benovi Tzarech Shikabat Torah Tchila. We don't allow you to lay Novi, haftarah, unless the one who gets mafta has to lay mafta from the Chumash. The Balkari lays mafta, then he lays a haftarah from the Novi. You can't just start off by reading the Navi. We're really on a time to say we're really not interested in reading Kriyas HaTorah. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's a day that has Kedusha, so you want to have more Kedusha, so you get more aliyahs. On a time to say we're only really interested in leading HaTorah, because all the Divrei HaNeviim is Musa V'Tochacha. But the din is Hamavta Benav Tzach Shik V'Torah Tchila, so you give one aliyah. That's what one time holds. So you give one aliyah. You're not really interested in Kriyas HaTorah. So then we don't paskin like that, because we paskin, you never have Kriyas HaTorah less than three aliyahs. So you got to give three. But it does make sense to say you have to give three plus mafta, because mafta is not oil in the mean akum. No. The whole Kriya on a tiny Siba really should have only been for the Navi. You only want to lay for the Navi, because all the Divya had the Imam Musa V'Terchacha. But well, we have a din hamafta benav tzarech shik b'atara tchilo u'mishum kavod haTorah. It shouldn't look as if Nevi'im are just equally important as Torah, just like at any other time when you lay kriyas haTorah, we lay kriyas psukim. Here you can lay for Navi also, you don't have to lay in Chumash. No, hamafta benav tzarech shik b'atara tchilo, to show that more important than the Navi is the Chumash. You have to first lay. So one Tana holds Giruk, give one aliyah. The mafta, you really only want to have Torah. But you can't. It's not proper to lay in haftarah from the Navi without first laying from the Sefer Torah. So you give one aliyah, and we paskin. No, that's a mafta. But I'm itzach shik about Torah tchili. You have to lay in an aliyah. No such thing as one aliyah. You have to have three. But we really, it's not a separate takana kriyas haTorah, not a takana haftarah. No, the ikar really is only the haftarah and the tainus sibur, and the whole three aliyahs is just to enable you to lay in haftarah. So you don't have to have three plus the haftarah. You know, three aliyahs. The third one will be Oilel L'Minyan. The Mafta will be Oilel L'Minyan Akrum. That's the Machlokes Rabbeinu Meshulam and the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Meshulam was a Talmud of the Rabbeinu Tam. He lived in a different city after he completed his course of Smicha, and he moved away. He got a position somewhere. And then whenever the Rabbeinu Tam heard that he came up with something wild, he would send him a nasty letter. Why do you come up to do such a thing? So they have the Sefer Yosha by the Rabbeinu Tam, the first half of this Chidushim of the Rabbeinu Tam on the different Mesichtas, and then the second half are the letters that he sent. Second half is a big half of the Sefer Yosha, is the letters that he wrote. So he has this letter where he disagrees with the Rabbeinu Meshulam. It's quoted in the Erzurah also. This Machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and the Rabbeinu Meshulam. I remember once in the Yeshiva on the Tainus Tibur, so they called up a Kohen and a Levi. And then, for Shlishi, the Gaba called Ebyamot, so-and-so, Maftir. So Rav Soloveitchik was upset. He said, you don't call him up Maftir. Shlishi. It happens that the Shlishi is Mafter. He said, yeah, he claimed that you only call up Yamat Ploni Mafter on Shabbos Ayantav or Yom Kippur when you have the Minyan Akruim, then you have someone is only Mafter. But here the Mafter is the Shlishi. So he thought it's not proper to call him up Yamod so-and-so Mafter. I have to call him up Shlishi, and Emela he'll say the Haftar. But then we looked and we found that Pesach Nari Behuda has a tshuva based on the assumption that you do call up Yamod Mafter on a Tainus. Not like Rav Soloveitchik insisted. But I remember he had a kpeid on that. You should say Yamod Shlishi. Yeah,
Rabbi, isn't it mashed from the lashon of the Mishnah? So it bunches it together. We know that we say a maftir by Yom Tov and Yom Kippur. So it would be mashma that Mosifin is also going on Yom Tov and Yom Kippur.
Yeah. Put Shabbat in the Mishnah, like the Rabbi Natan, that you may be Mosif not only on Shabbat, on all three. That is correct. The simple reading in the Mishnah is like the Rabbi Natan. But the Ran on the Rif has this, it's a little dirtic in the Mishnah that really doesn't seem to read straight, that Masifin only Mutter Lohaisif on Shabbos, and not on Yom Tov. Yeah. But that's the Machlokes. Yesterday, I didn't feel well yesterday. I haven't gotten into the OU for a long time. So I went in yesterday. They called me up on the phone when they had issues of kashas. But yesterday I went in and I wasn't really all there, so they were talking about issues in kashrus. I couldn't even concentrate, so I wasn't able to give the shiur yesterday evening. Usually give the shiur on Monday night. Wasn't able to give the shiur. And today I went to this big rally that they had. It's very important. It's important. The first Rashi on Chumash raises the question from the Medrash, why does the Torah begin with the Bria Shamayim Ba'aretz? The Torah is a sefer HaMitzvahs, has all the mitzvahs of the Jewish people. Bereishis, a big sefer, only has three mitzvahs, has Piri V'Rivya, Bris Milah, and Gidal Nasha, that's all. So Rashi raises the question, Rashi quotes the Medrash, raises the question, why doesn't Torah begin with HaChodesh Alachem Rosh Chodoshim, which is the first mitzvah that was given to Bnei Yisrael as a nation? So Rashi answers, Rashi tells us, what is the Jewish claim to Eretz Yisrael? Who gives us the right to claim Eretz Yisrael belongs to us? These Palestinians claim that we stole it from them. It's Palestine and they're the Palestinians. So Rashi says, he quotes the Medrash, in the future the nations will complain against the Jewish people, listem atem, you stole the land from the Palestinians. It really belongs to them and the Jews are gazlan. So every time the Rav would speak about this in public, he would always say, I think I read that in the New York Times yesterday. They always would quote, the Arab representative in the United Nations accused the Jews of stealing the land from them. Listen at them. So what's our response? So our response, and this used to be, Abba Ibn used to speak all the time when I was a little boy. He would always speak in the United Nations. He would open up a Chumash and he would read. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and he's the balabas on the whole world, and then he owns the whole world, and he gave it a matana to Avraham Avinu, and he made a bris. A bris means a covenant, le'olam v'ed, that this country belongs to Avraham Avinu. No one else has a right to take it away. And all of the years, during the 7 years of Golas Babel, when the Jews were chased out of Eretz Yisrael, the land still belonged to the Jewish people. We never lost our ownership. And then almost 2,000 years since the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Jews were dispersed in Golus all over till 1948 when we came back to Eretz Yisrael. So the Rabbi used to say in public more than one occasion, we do not owe a debt of gratitude to the British for giving us Eretz Yisrael. It never belonged to them to give away, but belonged to the Jewish people from the days of Avraham Avinu, through the Golus Babel, through the Golus Edom, even after the Roman destruction of the whole Medina, the whole country belonged to the Jewish people. That's what a bris means. A bris means a covenant. The Ramban and Chumash has this idea. Bris is like a shvua, and the bris and the shvua means al kol panim, under all conditions. So the Beit used to point out, the Chumash has an expression describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as konei shamayim va'oretz. What does that mean? So Rashi has two interpretations on that expression. One is konei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu formed and he created Shemayim Ba'aretz. The other pshat is Konei, he acquired ownership of Shemayim Ba'aretz. Rav used to say, like the Pasuk says in Hu Asanu V'loy Anachnu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us and therefore we belong to him. V'lo, Lam Midvav. Why do we belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because he made us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns the whole world. He's Konei Shemayim Ba'aretz. He acquired ownership by creating it. Whenever you create something, legally it belongs to who? To you. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say over, more than once in public and in the shiurim and the yeshiva, he would say over, there's a din that if pears grow on a sodah shel hefker, you're not chayv to be mafresh chumas and maises. Nonetheless, that's if the pears grow on their own. Let's say there are trees, you don't have to plant it, and the trees give off fruits every year. So the pears are hefker, so you're not chayv in chumas and maises. What if someone is hazareas they hefker? Someone plants in a sodah that's hefker? Then the Raman quotes Ayushalmi that you are chayv in chumas and maises. So why? What happened to the din that this hefker is spata from chumas and maises? So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has in his sefer it's on a Rambam in Hilchas Malva Leiva. He's talking about Shiva Nechasim, collecting from Nechasim, Mishabodim. He's talking about, the Rambam is talking about collecting from the Lekuchas. What about the Shvach? Does the Shiva Nechasim go on the Shvach, on the pears that grow on the trees also, or just on the carpus? In the middle of that discussion, Rav Chaim quotes this Rambam who quoted Ayushalmi, Azareas Nehevke Eschayim and Chumas Mai. Why is that so? So one of the Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi printed on the page says, because the fellow planted the field, so he's Koine B'kinya Chazoke. Karka is nicknamed B'kesef or B'shtar or B'chazoke. This is Chazoke. If you plant in the farm, that's called Chazoke. So Rav Chaim says it's 100% incorrect. We mention from time to time the Prima Godim and this Psicha Kolelis, his general introduction to all of Torah Shebal Peh. He calls it a Psicha Kolelis Torah Chaim, but it's really a general introduction to all of Torah Shebal Peh. So he has a paragraph where he says the word Chazoke has six different meanings, totally unrelated to each other. So there's a din Cheskes Habatim. I bought a farm from somebody, and I had a document, I had a deed, and I kept it in my files. How long am I mechuyev to hold on to the deed? I have to have every star, every bill that I get from the AMP and from any store. I have to save the bills, Li'ol and Vod. You have to save your, if you pay taxes in the United States and you gave charities, sometimes they'll call you and they'll say, show us all the canceled checks that you gave so much money in charity. Okay, so you have to keep your canceled checks for a couple of years. So I think 5 years or 3 years, but I forgot about it. You don't have to hold on to the, how many? 7 years. Okay. Eight years, whatever. A couple of years. Okay. So Cheskes Habatim, Shalosham is like this. I bought a farm and I had a deed and I claim that I paid for it and I had a deed and I didn't keep the deed forever. I lost it. I threw it out. I'm not mechuyev to keep it forever. So if I can prove that I was doing achilas peres, I was planting and living in the house for 3 years, I was using the farm for 3 years and nobody complained, the Marakama didn't complain. So Cheskes Habatim, Shalashanim is a raya that my claim is true. But that's a takana midrabbanan, most of the Rishayim say. Cheskes Habatim, takana midrabbanan. Achilas peres constitutes a chazoke. That's a raya. That's a raya that I'm telling the truth, that the Marakama is a liar. Why didn't he complain earlier? He knew that I was using his farm. Why didn't he complain? Why did he wait till after 3 years went by? So if I can prove that I was living there like a balabas and planting for 3 years, if I was prevented him, let's say he went to Eretz Yisrael and I just planted there for half a year. So if I used this karka for 3 years eating pears, so then he should have woken up earlier, should have complained. So cheska batim shalosh shanim achilas pears cheska batim. But chazoke karkas nicknes bekesef or b'shtar or b'chazoke. But that chazok in the Mishnah says it's not good enough achilas peres at all. You have to have either noal, godar, or parat. So you have to either lock the door, or godar, I put up a fence around the area that I bought from you, or parat, I break down the fence. You have to make a shinui, a tikkun in the karka. You have to make something. Just planting does not constitute a kinyan hazaka that you're going to izecha b'sodem and ahefka. Achilos peris, planting and eating the peris, doesn't constitute kinyan hazaka. Kinyan hazaka has to be no gadar apart. So Abraham doesn't accept that pshat. So what is pshat in the Yerushalmi? Hazares, the hefker, is chayv and shumas and maisis. So Abraham explained, no, the Yerushalmi means like this. The sodah remains hefker. I'm not kind of the sodah. Hazares, the hefker, since I created the shvach, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world, and because he was Kodesh Shemayim Varetz, he created the Shemayim Varetz, that's why he's the owner of Shemayim Varetz. Whoever creates something, shvach, acquires ownership of it. So just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns the whole world because he created everything, so somebody Zeres the Hefker, the Sodom remains Hefker. But the Peris, I was gurum that the Peris will grow by planting, so the Peris are not Hefker. And that's what the Rishami is telling us, that the Sodom Hefker is part of the Trumasamaisis. It doesn't depend on the Sodom, it depends on the Peris, even if the Sodom is Hefker. But the Peris belong to me because I was Zeres the Hefker, and I created the Shvach, so I'm kind of it. So therefore, you are chayv in Trumas and Maises. So that's what the opening Rashi and Chumash says. The Umas Soil, the Malkamatam, the Umas Soil will complain, listen at them. The Jews have no right to Eretz Israel. It belongs to Palestinians. It's Palestine, belongs to the Palestinian. So the answer, the Rabban Shalom wrote, Rashi quotes the Medrash, he quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim, towards the end of Tehillim, and says, Kach Maisum Higid Liamo, Losus Lahem Machnas Nachalas Goyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the whole Sefer Bereishis that we should have a claim. That's what Abba Ibn would always present in the United Nations. If I'm not mistaken, I think Abba Ibn is the uncle of the president in Eretz Yisrael. His father, who was the president years ago, and Abba Ibn married two sisters, Sfardim. So the Abba Ibn was the uncle of the one who's now the president of Eretz Yisrael. So so he used to open up a Chumash in the United Nations and said, this is our claim to Eretz Yisrael. God gave the land to Avraham Avinu. He told them, that constituted the Kinyan Chazakah. That was a Hirah Shoah. That's a Machlekes in the Gemara Bava Basra. Is that a Kinyan Adoris? I want to sell you a Pardes, and I tell you, walk around the borders and you'll be kind of a Chazakah. So we pass from walking around the borders. The Salah Baris L'Orka L'Rachba does not constitute a Kinyan Chazakah Adoris. It was once in the history of the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, you walk around the borders and you will acquire ownership of Eretz Yisrael. And we assume HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Avram, with Yitzchak and Yankev, the Eretz Yisrael always belonged to the Jewish people. It's an exception to the rule of Kibush Mulchama. The Gemara has a whole sugya in Gittin and the Lamed. There's a din, there's an international din of Kibush Mulchama. If one country is at war with another country, whether behet the Rabbi Yisrael, a lot of times it's in self-defense, a lot of times just big zela. The Russians took over Hungary years ago. The Russians take over whatever they want. So even though they do it begezel, the country who wins the war acquires ownership of the karka, of the automobiles, of the metalton, and of the people. They can take all the people as avodim. And they own all the karka and all the metalton, everything. So the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, that's an international din. Amon Moav Tiharu B'Sichon. Sichon waged war against Amon and Moav, and they took away all of their lands. So now it belonged to Sichon. So Bnei Yisrael conquered it from Sichon. We didn't violate the din. We're not allowed to take away anything from Amon and Moav. We didn't take from Amon and Moav. We took it from Sichon, who was kainet from Amon and Moav. So it was laundered. That's how the Gemara says, Amon and Moav, tiharu b'Sichon. Since Sichon won the war against Amon and Moav, so he acquired ownership, we took it from Sichon. So the Gemara says, that's if one Goyish nation wages war against another and one of the Goyish nations wins the war. What if the Goyim made war against the Jews and took away the automobiles and took away the people? So that's another. The Goyim won the war against the Jews. Or the Jews won the war against the Goyim. The Gemara has psukim from all of these. The Gemara doesn't have a discussion of what if the Jews had a civil war and some Jewish people won the war against the other Jewish people. The Gemara doesn't talk about such a din. Al-Kibish Muhammad. We hope that we won't have such a thing. But the Gemara said there is, usually there is a din of Kibush Mulcham, it's an international din. So Rashi and Chumash, the first Rashi and Chumash says the one and only exception to the rule is the land of Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris, a shvua, and the Ramban Chumash says a bris means a shvua, and that means al kol panim, under all circumstances, that Kibush Mulcham, the international din, does not apply to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael always belonged to the Jewish people. That's why I said Rav Soloveitch used to say in public, we do not owe a debt of gratitude to the British for giving us Eretz Yisrael. It never belonged to them. It always belonged to the Jewish people. And furthermore, this is a point of history. The young people are not familiar with this. Before Hakamas HaMedina, years before Hakamas HaMedina, so people used to refer to the Arabs as the Palestinians because it was called Palestine. They used to call them the Palestinians. So they were makbid very much. They are not Palestinians. They didn't like that they're called Palestinians. But now it's in their benefit. So they say, the land is Palestine. We are the Palestinians. So it's our country. Truth and matter, they were never the Balabatim over Eretz Yisrael. It was under control of the British and before that under the Turks and before that under the Christians. It was never controlled by the local Arabs. They never were the Balabatim. Let's say all the Jews in America will decide the United States of America belongs to us. We have no claim to the country. It doesn't belong to us. We're guests over here. We're very thrilled that they allow us freedom of religion, and we appreciate that they let us live in the country, and we pay taxes, and we try to be good citizens of the country. Dina d'machus adina. Well, we have no claim that America is our country. Eretz Yisrael never belonged to the Palestinians. They were never Palestinians. They decided it's in their benefit to take that name, so now they like it. Originally, they were angry why they were calling them Palestinian. They felt it's a busha. And now it's their benefit. They say the land is Palestine. They're the Palestinians. They were never the Balabatim at all. That is our claim to Eretz Yisrael, the first Rashi and Chumash Bereshit. That's Rav Soloveitchik. The few times that he spoke about this in public, each time he would say, I think I read that yesterday in the New York Times. That's what they claimed in the United Nations. And that's the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu appended Bereshit. It's Kach Maisel Higid Liyamoy. He told us about Bria Shemaim Oretz. Los Eslam Nachlas Goyim. That the Jews should know what their claim to the ownership of Eretz Yisrael. That is our claim. Avram Yitzchak were real people who really existed, and God really exists. And God told Avram Avinu, make a kinyan, and he made a bris with Yitzchak, he made a bris with Yitzchak. What was the need for a bris? He already gave it to Avram Avinu. He already made the kinyan. The answer is to prevent Kibush Mulchama from setting in. If there wouldn't have been a bris, then Kibush Mulchama would undo our ownership. No, we have the ownership of the Yod and Void. We have to know clearly what our claims to Eretz Yisrael are. No? We pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chasam Sofer writes, he quotes the Gemara, Mohammed Saraschalta de Gaula. So the Chasam Sofer was of the opinion that all Mohammeds in the world are Aschalta de Gaula. That's not like Rashi. Rashi on this Gemara in Sanhedrin and Gemara Megillah. Mohammed Saraschalta de Gaula. So Rashi writes, the Mohammeds about Eretz Yisrael and the Jewish people win the war in 1948. That's Aschalta de Gaula. First, because the Gemara says the Geula means Binyan Beis Hamikdash. When you build the Beis Hamikdash, that's called Geula. When they established the Medina in 1948, the Chazon Ish had already lived in Eretz Yisrael before the Muhammad, before the Second World War. He left Europe before. So when they established the Medina, so he said, this is the end of the Geulas, but we still haven't experienced the Geula. So people didn't understand his language. They thought that it was double talk. What do you mean? That's the end of the Geulas. But it's not yet Geula. No, it's not double talk. The end of the Golas, the British didn't let the Jews come into Eretz Yisrael. So now it's under Jewish control. They allow all the Jews to come in. We're not mechuyev to stay in Golas anymore. We all belong in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the end of the Golas. We're not the mechuyev to stay in Golas. But it's not yet the Geula. The Geula means Binyan Beis Hamikdash. That's the Ramban in Hakdamah to Chumash Shmos. I have an old Chumash. So in the old Chumashim, they printed the Hakdamah to Shmos by mistake at the end of Vayechi. And now in the new Chumashim, when they said the type of new, so they moved that paragraph to the beginning of Chumash Shmos. So the Ramban says, Ramban explains the Hakdamah to Chumash Shmos. Bereshis is the sefer of all the beginnings, beginnings of the world, beginnings of mankind, the beginnings of the Jewish nation, till the Shvatim went with Yankman and went at the Golas Mitzrayim. Then he said, the second sefer Shmos is the story of the first Golus and the Geula therefrom. And if you'll ask me, what do you mean the Geula therefrom? But the Geula is only when they get into Eretz Yisrael. That's not until after the end of the Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu dies, Vayam Mishal Moshe Eved Hashem. And after Moshe Rabbeinu dies, then Yeshua ben Nun leads Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. So that was, the Geula was only later. So the Ramban says, no, the main aspect of the Golus when they went to Mitzrayim was not so much that they weren't in Eretz Yisrael. The main, that was one issue, but the main aspect of the Golus is that they were lacking Soda Laka'alei Ahaleihem. That's a paraphrase of a pasuk in Eov. During the time of the Obis, Rashi and Chumash quotes this from the Medrash, Obis, Hein Hein HaMarkova. The Obis used to have Hashvas HaShchina. Just like if the Shchina is sitting on a Merkava, so the Obis had Hashvas HaShchina. When they went into Golus, Mitzrayim, they didn't have any Hashvas HaShchina. So the Ramban says, when you get to the end of Chumash Mos, when you have Trumat Tetzaba Vayakal Pikudei, there was still in the Midbar for another 39 years or something. It was still in Midbar for a long time. But since they already had Hashvas HaShchina, that's already the Geula. That's already the Geula. When we pray, Zonshan Kum in the Geula, we want the Geula. The Geula doesn't mean to come to Eretz. The Geula means Hashvas HaShchina. So once you know what the Geula is, Hashvas HaShchina means Binya Beis HaMikdash, but Hashvas HaShchina, then you can understand what's Aschalta the Geula. What do you mean, Melchamas are Aschalta the Geula? So Rashi doesn't learn like this. I'm saying, all Melchamas in the world are Aschalta the Geula. No, Rashi says on that Gemara, Melchama about who's going to be the Balabas over Eretz Yisrael, and the Jews win the war. In 1948, the Jews won the war. Melchamat Yom Kippur, Melchamat Sheshet Ha'amim. Every Melchama, the Jews won the war. If the Jews would have not won the war, they would have killed every single Jew. The Arabs would have killed everybody in Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, historically, the Jews won all of the wars. So when the Jews win the war, but who's going to be the Balabas over Eretz Yisrael? That's Aschalta de Gula, because the Gemara says in Sahedin Daf Chof, the Raman quotes in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, and Hilchas Melochim, that there are three mitzvahs that have to be fulfilled in a specific order. First, Gimel mitzvahs, Nitztaba Yisrael, Bichni Sosim La'aretz. When the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they became obligated to fulfill three mitzvahs in a specific order. Kiseder Hazeh, the Gemara learns it out from Psukim. First is Lahamid Lahamelech, to establish a Jewish government over all of Eretz Yisrael. More corrected should be Malchus Beis David. But for many years it wasn't. They had Shoftim. Yeshua ben Nun was the Melech. Yeshua ben Nun was Melech. He wasn't for the Malchus Beis David. It's the government now is not a Malchus at all. It's a democracy, but still it's a Jewish government. So the first partial came on mitzvah, the full came on mitzvah to have Malchus Beis David. In the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they didn't have that either. Till David HaMelech, they had Malchus Beis David. So the first mitzvah is Lahamid Lahamelech, to have a Jewish government. It's a political entity, Eretz Yisrael. There's Kedushas Haaretz, and there's political entity of Medina, Eretz Yisrael. Second mitzvah is every Medina has to have a standing army to protect their citizens. So that army has a chiyuv l'hachmir zara shel Amalek. After wipe out Amalek, in the Chumash Bereishis, it says, Kadosh Baruch Hu created Bereishis Balakim Mishmah Ve'oretz, Ve'oretz HaSosov Bavo. It was Tov Bavo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the whole world in Sheis Mei Bresh, but he left a little Tohu Vavohu, and he wants mankind, he wants the Jewish people and mankind to help remove the rest of the Tohu Vavohu. So Rav Soloveitchik, in one of his published essays, quotes a passage from the Zohar that Amalek is the Tohu Vavohu. We were instructed, Timchezech Amalek, Amalek, that nation that adopts as a policy to wipe out the Jewish people, but they don't necessarily have to be descendants. Direct descendants from Amalek, Ben Achaben, Ayichas after Amalek. Any nation adopts as a policy that they want to wipe out all the Jewish people, men, women, and children, like the Nazis. That's why Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole shira, remember, years ago. He was opposed to taking reparations money. He said the Germans had the din of Amalek because they wanted to wipe out all the Jewish people and were not even allowed to take back the money that they stole from the Jews. With all the reparations money, they still didn't give back all the money that they stole. They stole much more than they gave back to Medina Sisrael. So he was opposed. He said, you're not allowed. Hey, originally, he gave a big talk for the Mizrahi then, I remember. I was a little boy before Bar Mitzvah. And I was going to the Yeshiva in New York. And my father, every so often, would take me back. The family lived in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania. So I remember that was a Thursday night. And my father would pick me up. I was staying by my grandparents in the Bronx. So my father would pick me up after the Rav spoke. We would miss the last Greyhound bus. So he took me to hear the Rav speak, and then we got the bus. So we made the last bus to Philadelphia. Remember, that was the drosha that he gave, that the Nazis had a din of Amalek. These people that want to wipe out the Palestinians, these terrorists, they want to wipe out the Jewish people, men, women, and children. So they have a din, they have a din of Amalek. So the second mitzvah we have is first, and after he wiped out, we assume Amalek has not been wiped out. The Sefer Chinuch quotes the Rambam as if he said the Rambam wrote about the Zion Umas. There used to be a din Hachrim Tachrimim to wipe out the Zion Umas, but then the Rambam says Kvar Obed Zichron. Since Bos and Cheres Bilbil is Kol Olam Kuloi, so the Zion Umas Chite Amar Pizay Busiv Agir Goshi, the Zion Umas don't exist anymore. There no longer is a din of Zion Umas. Sefer Chinuch writes as if the Rambam said it by Amalek also. Not so. Rambam never said it by Amalek. Amalek has not been wiped out yet. We assume that that's going to be a loss of love. And the Gemara says, after Amalek will be wiped out, we'll pronounce Yudke Vavke Kirchsova. No one's pronouncing it Kirchsova yet. We have not yet succeeded in wiping out Amalek. So then after you do, L'ach Rizarish Al Amalek, and it'll be peaceful, and Eretz Yisrael, then you have the mitzvah, Livnes L'Beis HaBchira. That's the Gula. Livnes L'Beis HaBchira is Ashura Sashchina. So that's what it means. Melchama is our schat to the gula. You have a melchama, and the Jews win the melchama, and we are the balabatim over Eretz Yisrael. So that's going to lead up to the second mitzvah, Lachol Zarish Al Amalek. Amalek is still around. All of these nations want to wipe out all the Jews, Iran and so on. These are the Amalek, and then the third mitzvah will be the gula. That's Liv Neslan Beis Abchira. That will be the gula. We should daven for the Hatzlocha of Tzahal. They have to wipe out the enemy. Chassam Sefer writes in his diary that since he was of the opinion of all Muhammad's are scouted the Gula. So he says, you're not allowed to, he's talking about the Austro-Prussian war that he lived through. Pressburg was under siege for a while. So he says, you're not allowed to daven that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam should end the war. You're delaying the Gula. Every Muhammad's are scouted the Gula. So you're not allowed to delay the Gula. You have to pray that the Rabbanu Shalom should see that Tzahal should be successful. You don't pray today at the rally. They ended off. They had a chazan singing, "Oseh Shalom Am Yaseh Shalom Aleinu." We don't want Shalom. We need Shalom. Netanyahu spoke. They had him on the radio this morning before I went to yeshiva. So they had. He said, "We didn't start this war. Someone else started it, but we're going to finish it." We have to pray to the Rabbanu Shel Olam that they should be successful in seeing that this should be Bahamid Lahamelach. This should be the Jewish government should remain in control of all of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. We need a lot of tefillahs and a lot of tzedakah. A lot of tefillahs and a lot of tzedakah. Okay. We'll be in there next week. We will continue in the third parak in Megillah.
Thank you.
Thank you, and your because.